So we've been working through proper preparation sermon series here, and we have been preparing for several things. Today's going to be a tough one. It's going to be in your face a little bit. Okay, today is preparing to forgive. So if so many times we come to a point where relationship has broken down, there's been some wrongdoing, and something has to happen, and we sometimes don't know how to handle that. And the Bible lays out clearly some things about forgiveness, and if it's something that you're applying on a daily basis, so when that opportunity presents itself, it can be handled in a biblical way. And here's the promise, is that if you handle these things in the biblical way, the relationship gels back, and it comes back in a way that is actually stronger had the wrongdoing never happened in the first place. Okay? And now, hear me correctly here. I'm not asking you to root for things to break down. Okay? But if that does happen and you prepare yourself in a way to come together for reconciliation in the biblical manner, then that relationship can be reconciled. That relationship can be made whole in a way that it never could have gotten to had the wrongdoing never happened. All right? Now, here's the connection that we need to make today. That's the story of Jesus Christ, okay? You hear that? This is the story of Jesus Christ. It's so many times we want to personalize, and I'm gonna make sure that we have the right perspective, okay? Because you know I'm all about perspective sometimes. I probably spend maybe too much time speaking about perspective. But in so many times when we start talking about forgiveness, we look at the relationship where we're the wronged. Not the wrong, but the wronged, okay? So real quick, dear God, we come to you now, and we just ask that you allow us to hear the word this morning that has been given to us, and just to accept it, and to be able to apply it and live it, for it's in your son's name we pray, amen, amen, okay? So there is a story in Spain, it's kind of a famous story about a father who has broken relationship with his son, Carlos, and it's been many, many years. And he puts an ad in the paper and he says, Carlos, to my son Carlos, I have forgiven you. I want to meet with you. I want to make this relationship whole. If you would meet me at the train station in this certain town, at this certain date, at this certain time, I will be there to accept you and to ask for forgiveness and to forgive you. And the story goes that at that train station on that date, at that time, 800 Carloses showed up. And here's the underlying point of that story. We all want forgiveness. And when you receive forgiveness, it's an experience that is just a wonderful, wonderful experience. And here's the connection I'm going to make throughout this short sermon, is that that is the basis of Christianity. Okay? So, first part we're going to look at, need you to understand, we're going to be out of Ephesians 4:25 through 32. And the first thing that we need to understand is that when there is unforgiveness in between relationships, and especially with Christians, that this is a process that grieves the Holy Spirit. It puts burdens on the Holy Spirit. Now, to make sure that we're aware, is that when inside of a church and inside families, when we have broken relationships, that affects the overall health of the organization, of the church, of the family. And it's because the Holy Spirit is grieved due to the broken relationship that is existing inside the church or the family. All right? So the first thing that it says here, putting out, Ephesians 4:25, and this is where it just needs to start, is that healthy communication is a key to relationships. All right? That is across the spectrum of relationships. So if you're in a marriage, you need to communicate in a healthy way, and communication is key to the health of your marriage. If you're raising children, if you're raising grandchildren or whatever the situation is, if communication has broken down, that will detrimentally affect the relationship and the health of the relationship. So communication is the key. And if we continue to walk across that spectrum inside of a church, if a church is supposed to be healthy, then there has to be healthy communication inside of that church. Keep going across the spectrum. If you are to have a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ, you should be having constant, healthy communication with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We call that prayer. And if you're not a constant prayer, then you're going against the Bible, because the Bible calls us to be in constant prayer. Okay, so that's just the very beginning, is that communication is the key. Here's the red light. If you're in a relationship and communication has broken down, then you have to pray for opportunities for there to be healthy, okay, healthy communication. Because without healthy communication, that relationship can never get back to health. That's across the spectrum, even with your relationship with Jesus Christ. And I know that there are some times when Jesus Christ is laying things on your heart, asking you to do things, and the world's beat us down, we're tired, the blues are setting in, you're at a place where you kind of don't like anybody, people are, okay? But here's the thing. You can't shut off Jesus Christ. And what we do sometimes is that we don't want to deal with the calling that has been placed in our life. And the way that we handle it is we go back to the way that we handled it when we were children. And we just quit talking. My wife's in the nursery today, so I got free game, man, okay? You can act like my wife and just shut down, all right? Her parents are right there, so I better not say too much, okay? Here's the other thing. When communication breaks down, now listen to me very carefully here, okay? It creates a void in the relationship. And this is biblical law brought to you by Ephesians 4, 26 through 27. And here's what it says, okay? Because it lays out that communication is the key in a relationship. And if communication breaks down and it is not healthy, there creates a void. And what will fill the void is not good. It will not be good. When communication breaks down, it will not be good. It says, be angry, okay? There are some times in life when you can be angry. And it gives you some examples, okay? We're going to look at them. But it's saying there, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And we have hit this point before when we talk about marriage and family. And let me say this, that if you're the kind of people who can work out your problems every time you have an issue come up in your marriage or your family, and you're not mad before you go to bed, then you might want to get checked out, because you might be a robot, okay? Because for those of us who live in the real world and have real spouses, there's been times when I breathe real quietly at night because I know the sound of my breathing was annoying my wife, who's mad at me laying in bed with me, and it may cause her to kill me, all right? So here's what it's saying. You can't let the time between the wronging and getting back into reconciliation, the communication has to stay there. You have to pray for the opportunity for reconciliation, for healthy communication. Because it says there that the longer that you go without communicating in a healthy way, you are opening the door for the devil. And here's what's happened. Okay, you can shake your head in your inside of your own head and say, ah, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Okay, but here's the deal. Anytime you're mad at somebody, mad at your spouse, a friend, or some kind of family member or something going on, and then as the time goes on, what do? You create things, especially with your spouse, what's going on. So now the trouble starts to snowball. And you say, well, I bet she's not talking to me. I bet she's been doing that. I bet, you know, and it just keeps going. And that is happening because the devil is whispering into your ear, planting seeds of anger and hatred and doubt and broken faith and brokenness and all that stuff. Because we have created a void. We're not filling it with healthy communication. What we're doing is we're stepping back and letting the void get bigger and bigger as time goes on. And guess what's filling the void? Nothing good. And that relationship is getting more broken by every passing moment of non-communication. So, your perspective has to be right. And here's the thing. I have been asked to come in and help mediate and work with some families who have a broken relationship. And here's the thing that I have to have before I will come in. And I do this because I've learned by experience. I've been there when it went bad. And I've got the scars to prove it, okay? They have to have reconciliation in their heart. Because if you're just getting together to unload, that's creating more of a void. Right? That's not healthy communication. Even though you're talking, you're not communicating in a healthy way. So the void's getting bigger and bigger. And it's being filled with wrong, bad things. So what it's saying here is that you have to get your mindset right. Now, society here has kind of bled into our lives a little bit on a total basis. And here's what I'm saying, is that out in society, if somebody creates a felony or does something wrong, then we put a black stain on them and they have to carry that around with the rest of their life. And it makes life rougher, job searches and all that stuff. It gets harder to do. And it seems like for them, there's no relief from that. And it keeps piling on that way. But inside of a church and inside of a family, we have to have a forgiving perspective. I mean, we can't hold grudges against people inside of a family and inside of a church and think that we're going to get along in a healthy way. And the Bible's laying this out very clearly. And it's saying, look, if someone stole, work with them to where they don't want to steal, or here's the other thing, they don't have to steal anymore. They might be a victim of circumstance. And stealing, you know, that's just a metaphor up there. And it's saying, rather, let them work. Some people steal because they can't make enough to earn a living. All right? And it's a violent cycle that happens inside of these people's lives. And for those of us who have had a plethora of opportunities in life, we kind of look at them and like, why do you let yourself get in that situation? And if when we were in that situation, we'd probably be doing the exact same thing if they're doing. But that can't happen inside of a church house and inside of a healthy family. We have to teach. We have to give them opportunities. We have to show them. Okay? So you can't just say, there's no good in that person. No, there is good in that person, especially if they have Jesus Christ living in them. They have great in them. So we have to have a forgiving mind, someone who has a perspective that is pushing them to become healthy, pushing them to become productive. And it says that working with their hands or whatever is good, that they may have something to give him that has need, make them productive, make them feel like they're worth something. And here's the thing, here's what I'm getting at. For those that are in the society who do not come to church and will not come to church, they don't come to church because we don't make them feel like they're worth coming to church. And if we love them in the right kind of way, and we show them the right kind of perspective, and that is a biblical, forgiving, loving perspective, then that church would have to get 10 times the size that it is now to have everybody that would come. Okay? I got very many amens on that one, did I? All right? Okay, I understand. But that's what's being preached here. All right? And what we end up doing now, it's really going to get at us because it's going to get in our mouths here and say, we spend most of our time bad-mouthing people. People that have not had good luck, made bad decisions, you know, got this placed on them and that placed on them. We spend time beating them down. And it says, don't do that. Your mouth, your words have power. All right? Especially if you have the Holy Spirit living in you. If you don't think you have power in your world, in your mouth, you ever said something you regretted to your small child and they look at you like, and you see that head go down and you were like, come back. I can just not say that. And then you say, I saw a video last night. I shown Ariane this little boy, and the worlds couldn't be more different. This blonde-headed little boy, he's got this African-American football coach with, you know, they get him together, and you could tell the boy just loves this coach. And he's looking at him, and he says, hey, I got you this gift. And he got him like one of those tumblers, one of those, you know, Yeti drinks, you know, cup like that. And the guy's like, thank you. And his mom goes, yeah, he wrote you a letter too. And he reads the letter, and he's like, you're the best coach ever. Thank you for spending time. And the boy just breaks down crying. And it's a beautiful, there's this grown man and this little child hugging each other over flag football. Now, did it mean anything, flag football? No. I don't know if they won a game or if they even played a game. But here's what I know, is that that coach made that kid feel like he was worth something. And the love that that kid showed that coach made him feel like what he was doing was worth something too. You can't beat that. That's called edification. And when it's done inside of a church house in the proper kind of way, with this proper kind of love and respect, it's monumental. It's monumental. And I know that because it says that, but what is good and necessary is edification, the building up of people, that it may impart, because if you build people up, that is the process of showing them what grace is. And here we go. Don't grieve the Spirit. Because if you don't do the things that the Bible's calling you to do, you will grieve the Spirit. All right? And here is the stuff that will fill the void. If you don't do the things that the Bible's calling you to do, you create the void. Here's what fills the void. Bitterness, wrath. Come on, you got to be agreeing with me on this thing. You have a broken relationship with somebody, you get bitter towards them. You get angry towards them, don't you? All right, you don't talk very nicely about those people. Here's what it means, grieve the Spirit. To grieve brings sorrow, to cause them sadness, even to grieve as if a death, because something is dead. The relationship is dead. It's offensive. 1 Thessalonians says, we should be rejoicing, always praying without ceasing, in everything we are to give thanks, because this is the will of God, that in Christ Jesus that is placed inside of us. And if you don't do the things that the Bible calls you to do, you will quench the Spirit. And inside of a church and inside of a family, that is detrimental. Romans says that. So then those of us who live by the flesh are unable to please God. All right? But if you're not in the flesh and you're led by the Holy Spirit and you're capable of doing the things that the Bible calls you to do because the Holy Spirit is guiding and directing you, then the body is dead and the Spirit is living through you, and people will feel grace. They will feel Jesus Christ in the first person living through you. And we are called to forgive as Christ forgave us. That's monumental. That's a monumental calling. Corinthians says it this way. We are the elect of God. We are his regenerated beings, holy and beloved. We are to put on mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. We are to bear with one another. We are to forgive one another. If anybody has a complaint against someone else, we are to forgive them because Christ forgave us. All right? We are to do that also. But above all things, what we are to strive to do is to show Christian love, because that is the bonding agent. You hear what I'm saying here? That's the bonding agent of perfection. You want to keep your family together? You want to keep your marriage together? You want to keep relationships together? You bond it with love, Christian love. Okay? Real quick, some application. We're talking about forgiveness, not just an apology. Here's the difference. All right, an apology is a way for the person who committed the wrong to tell you they feel bad about it. All right? Usually we respond with, no problem. Okay, no big deal. what we can actually be doing is condoning the wrongdoing. All right? Here's forgiveness. There is an admission of wrongdoing. Now, I'm going to tie this up biblically, okay? There is an actual request from the person admitting that they did wrong to be forgiven. And there is a promise that is put on the person who was wronged to actually forgive the person asking for forgiveness. That's monumental right there. If we did this, that's how you get to a place to where the relationship is stronger than it was before the actual wrongdoing happened. Because of this right here. Now watch. This is biblical. You know how I know? Because Romans says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody needs forgiven. And it says there that it is written that no one's righteous. No, not one. I can't do it without thinking that song. No, not one. No, not one. All right? Romans says, if you confess with your mouth and admit you're wrong, admit that you have created wrong, and you believe in your heart that Jesus was sent with a promise to forgive you to the point that he dies for you, then you will be forgiven, and you will be forgiven in a way that you will receive eternal salvation because of the forgiveness brought to you through the atonement of the blood of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is an actual decision that is made. And this is what it means. This doesn't happen accidentally. Forgiveness happens on purpose. All right, Hebrews said, just like I will be merciful, Jesus Christ made the decision to forgive us. The choice was there. The choice was there in the Garden of Gethsemane when he is sweating and crying actual tears and sweat of blood. It was placed before him, and he says, I will be merciful to all their wrongdoing, to all their lawlessness, to all of their sins, and I will remember them no more. That's tough to do. You ever thought you forgave somebody and had a bad day? Sometimes that pops back up, doesn't it? Huh? And it says that their sins and their lawless deeds are forever forgotten because we have been forgiven and it is forgotten. That this is the basis of Christianity. What we rely on for our own salvation is what we're required to show our brothers and sisters who have committed wrong against us. You say, well, that's not fair. Fair has nothing to do with it. Like I told my grandma one time, I was in there crying, and Kelly had been cheating me in wiffle ball because he couldn't beat me fair and square. And she said, just tell me what you want. And I said, I just want what I deserve. And she said, no, you don't. I thought, well, no grandma ever said that. Now I know why she said it. I got it. Here's a point I need to make. The peripheral. What's the peripheral? That's the surroundings. Here's the other thing. Okay? I'm going to talk directly to y'all, all right? Because I'm talking directly to Aaron Phelps. You can say anything you want to say about me. I don't care. It may hurt my feelings. I'll be sad about it for a while, but I'll get over it. But there's some people in my lives you say something about, and I'm going to want to just, you know, like go crazy. I can't take it. Hard to do when half your family's in the papers all the time running for some kind of office. Okay? Hard to do sometimes. Okay? Do that a lot. All right? The peripheral. Says there that be angry. This is what we already touched on. Okay? Be angry at immorality, injustice, ungodly behavior. But don't let it drive you to sin. If your anger drives you to sin, then it's wrong anger. Okay? And don't let your anger cause you shame. Okay? And don't let it last too long. And because it becomes a part of who you are, your anger will take you over. And do not give the devil an opportunity to lead you into sin by holding a grudge, nurturing that anger, harboring resentment, or cultivating bitterness. And this is the point that I'm making. Because there have been, and I've seen throughout my lifetime and recently, some amazing situations where people have come and they have said, I was wrong, please forgive me. And the person that was wronged said, yes, I will forgive you. And I've seen relationships come back together. I'm thankful for people that can do that. It is an absolute example for me to go by, a constant reminder for me. I'm thankful for those kind of people in my life. I'm just telling you, I'm thankful for them. All right? But here's where I fail sometimes, is that throughout my life, there have been people who have gotten crossways with each other, and then they come back together, and they make things right, and that relationship is strong, but I still hate the other person for something that they did that the person they hurt has forgiven them for. Does that make sense to you? Did I say it right? The people that were in the fight have made up. They're good. And I'm standing over here in the peripheral, mad about it. And the Bible said, don't do that. It will take you over. It will ruin your life. Remember? Remember what God said to Cain? What's wrong with your countenance? I love that verse. What's wrong with your countenance? You know what he's saying? What's wrong with your face? It's angry all the time. Wearing your emotions on your face. And too many times in the peripheral, we get caught up in the situation. And the situation gets resolved, and those of us on the peripheral are still mad about it, still holding a grudge, and it's killing us on the inside. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, because you have been sealed for redemption. The devil's trying to break that seal. The devil's trying to get you to be consumed by your anger. And here's the other thing. Forgiveness, it's undeserved. Forgiveness with God is undeserved. Forgiveness with God is total. Forgiveness with God is final. I should hear lots of amens on that one. I'll finish with this, and the musicians can come on up. There's a famous story. If you've heard it, bear with me. There's a guy, a burly guy, showing scars of a hard life. The gray hair, and you could tell that he had been in some scruffs. Maybe even have been in a prison here and there or whatever, you know. Just a tough-looking dude, hardened by life. He's sitting on a train, sitting by this kind-looking woman, probably in her late 50s. And he says, hey, we're getting close. Ma'am, can I bother you for a second? And she said, sure, what's up? He said, we're getting close to my hometown, a couple miles out. I'm going home. I've lived a rough life. I was a terror to live with, so bad that my dad just came to me and said, I can't handle you anymore. You're too big, you're too strong, you're too mean, you're too evil. Can't keep you around. You got to go. You're killing me and your mom. I'm afraid you're going to kill me and put her in a grave with me. He said, so I left. I've lived a hard life. I've made bad decisions. I've paid for those bad decisions. But time and experience has got the best of me, and I have given my life to Jesus Christ. I've asked for his forgiveness. And I recently wrote my parents a letter. And I said, hey, I have lived a hard life. I understand exactly why you sent me out. You couldn't handle me. Didn't deserve to be there. But I've been out and about. I've paid for all my misgivings and misdeeds. And I've asked the Holy Spirit to come into my life and change me by Jesus Christ being my Savior. But I know I've hurt you over the years and I've been gone for too long. So if I'm on this train, I'm on the 12 o'clock train, and it's going to go right up next to the back of the house in the old maple tree out back. If you are willing to see me and give me one last chance, just take a white ribbon and tie it in one of the limbs of that old maple tree. And when I go by, I can look and see that white ribbon, and I'll know that it's okay for me to come home. And he said, lady, ma'am, I can't do it. I can't bear to look out to see that maple tree with no white rag in it. I can't do it. It'll break my heart. I just can't do it. So if you would, please, I'm going to turn this way. And you look out, and there'll be an old white house that backs up against the tracks here. And there'll be a maple tree You just tell me if there's a white rag in it. And as they get closer and closer, she says, oh, honey, oh, honey. He says, there's no rag in it. There's no rag in it, is it? And she said, honey, there's not a rag in it. There's hundreds of white rags tied in that maple tree. And he said, there's an old gray-headed man and an old gray-headed woman, and they've got a bedsheet in their hand, and they're waving it like this. That's the story of Christianity right there. That's the story of Christianity. None of us deserve it. None of us could earn it. Given to us by Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. For whatever reason, whatever burden is laying on your heart, come up and let's give it to Jesus. And if you've never met Jesus Christ in your life, he's out in the back with hundreds of white rags tied in a tree, waving a bed sheet to say, come on home, come on home. Open up the altars to you.
Just as I am.